should women take hormones to preserve their thinking power?
What about the effects of a Mediterranean diet when there's no restriction on fat?
Does in vitro fertilization increase the risk of breast cancer?
And extending hormonal breast cancer therapy for 10 years.
That's what we're talking about this week on PodMed, the weekly look at the medical headlines from Johns Hopkins. Posted on July 22nd, 2016, I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang, professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins, president of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, El Paso, and dean of the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine.
Rick, we're talking almost all about issues relative to women this week, and I'm very excited by that. As we well know, women are often unrepresented or underrepresented in clinical trials, so I'm actually really happy that we've got this smorgasbord of women-related studies in front of us. I think I'd like to start with the New England Journal of Medicine. This is a really important issue. Gosh, we know that aromatase inhibitors can help to stave off a recurrence of breast cancer in women who've had the disease. How long should we really continue to do that?
So we're talking specifically about people that have hormone receptor positive early breast cancer. And we know that once that is treated, that the risk of recurrence continues indefinitely. And there are two types of hormone related therapy. One is tamoxifen. And we know that 10 years of that therapy reduces the risk of having breast cancer recurrence. The second therapy is to use 5 years of tamoxifen and 5 years of what's called aromatase inhibitor therapy. We know that that reduces the risk of recurrent cancer. And also, the third type is 5 years of just initial aromatase therapy, and we know that reduces the recurrence risk. But because it's been effective and that risk continues indefinitely, the question is, what if you extend it out to 10 years? And that's what this study did. For those two groups, those who received either tamoxifen or additional aromatase inhibitor therapy, or those that started with 5 years of it, what about extending it for another 5 years? Is there any benefit? So they looked at over 1,900 women, followed them for about 6 years, compared to those that did not. And those that received the additional 5 years, it reduced their 5-year risk of having disease, or the, what I'm going to call their 5-year disease-free survival rate, was 95% in those that continued for 5 years, and 91% for those that did not. Furthermore, it also decreased the risk of having breast cancer in the other breast, or what's called the contralateral breast. It decreased it by about 50%, from an annual rate of about 0.4 or 0.5% to about 0.2%. So it looks like that extending the aromatase inhibitor therapy for 10 years provides benefit.
Let's talk about, of course, the side effects and the downside.
There is a higher incidence with the additional 5 years of bone fractures and new onset osteoporosis and a higher incidence of bone pain as well. So those are the downsides. But considering the upsides, I think that for most women, they would probably extend the therapy from 5 years to 10 years.
This is a good news study. So from here, let's turn to another one that's actually good news. When women undergo in vitro fertilization, of course, they are treated with hormones. And the question is, hopefully they are able to successfully have a pregnancy and have a baby. But does this increase their risk of breast cancer down the road? That's in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
And why this is particularly relevant, as you mentioned, not only are there a lot of studies that we want to do in women that are lacking, but the women getting in vitro fertilization are oftentimes young. We know that in vitro fertilization has increased rapidly since it was introduced in the 1980s. And these are women that already have somewhat of a risk of breast cancer. And does the hormonal therapy associated with IVF increase the risk of having breast cancer? So I think this is a really important study. This study included over 19,000 women who started IVF treatment between 1983 and 1995. And they compared them to two groups, a group of women, about 6,000, who had other fertility treatments, but not IVF, and also the general population. This was conducted in the Netherlands, so they were able to look at the Netherlands Cancer Registry to figure out which of these women developed breast cancer. Among the 25,000 women total, average age of about 33, they were followed for an average of 21 years. The breast cancer risk in the IVF-treated women was not significantly different from that in the general population, and not significantly different from those that received other types of fertility treatment. Specifically, about 3% of women had developed breast cancer by the age of 55 in either group.
Good news, because as you mentioned, this IVF strategy increasingly being employed, especially as women delay childbearing until later years, they often have to use it, and the hormone aspect of it is not going to go away, I don't think.
No, and for those that may not be aware, many types of breast cancer are hormone responsive. The additional use of hormone supplements, either prior to menopause or after menopause, increases the risk of breast cancer. So that was the hypothesis or rationale behind studying this. And it's nice to know that IVF does not increase that risk.
Excellent. So talking about hormones then, let's turn to the journal Neurology. Many times women, as they are entering menopause within that period and also postmenopausally, are considering hormone replacement therapy for a number of reasons. One reason is, gosh, will it help me preserve my cognition, my ability to think sharply, if you will, after this whole thing is finished? And this study is rather informative.
So there are two issues. One is, does taking hormone therapy improve cognition in postmenopausal women? The second issue is, there may be some sort of a timing effect. We know that's true with respect to cardiovascular disease. For example, let's say a woman goes through menopause and you hypothesize that giving her supplemental hormone therapy may improve her cognition. Does it have to be given early, the first several years of menopause, or can you wait till later and does it have effect? So this study addressed both of those issues. This study involved over 560 women who were randomized to either placebo or the ingestion of estradiol, 1 milligram. Now, some of those women received it within 6 years of menopause, and some received it more than 10 years after menopause. So the first question is, does additional hormone therapy improve cognition compared to placebo? And in this particular study, when they looked at things like verbal function or verbal memory, executive function, and global cognition, doing specific neuropsychiatric testing, there was no benefit with ingestion of additional estradiol postmenopausal. Secondly, what about, is there a difference between early versus late administration? And the answer was, there was no difference. If someone ingested it in less than 3 years after the onset of menopause, and again, no benefit there as well. So, although there may be some health benefits, particularly with regard to hot flashes, to taking estrogen, it doesn't appear to improve cognition.
So if that's the strategy, then women should probably give it a miss. But with regard to the management of symptoms, it still is pretty efficacious.
Absolutely. And it seems like that's really the only indication of this particular time. The slow decline that occurs in men and women, particularly in women, it won't delay that.
I'm not sure I would go with particularly in women, but we'll let that one go for the moment. Finally, let's turn to Annals of Internal Medicine. A look at the Mediterranean diet where fats are not restricted.
We've talked so much about this diet over several years. I didn't think there was any particular angles we haven't covered. But this was actually pretty interesting. I'm glad you picked this particular study. Is that oftentimes the studies that were done with the Mediterranean diet, the diet that's high in monounsaturated fats and fresh fruits and vegetables and legumes, those people are oftentimes on a diet that also restricted their fat intake. Well, that's not what we do in the United States oftentimes. The fat intake in the Mediterranean diet can be as much as 30 or 40% of the diet. And in that particular diet, does that have all the health benefits that are attributed to the Mediterranean diet? As importantly, it would be nice to know how effective the Mediterranean diet is in Americans, specifically, how compliant are they with it? So this study attempted to address that by doing a meta-analysis, a systematic review and a meta-analysis, and they looked at control trials that included over 100 patients or more followed for at least 1 year. They looked at things like mortality and cardiovascular disease and hypertension and diabetes, both randomized control trials and observational trials. And here's what they discovered. First of all, with respect to compliance, how compliant are Americans with the Mediterranean diet? They didn't really find any studies that could address that. I was disappointed in that. They did find that there was limited evidence that suggested the Mediterranean diet with no restriction on fat reduces the incidence of cardiovascular events, breast cancer, and type 2 diabetes, but does not affect all-cause mortality. And they said there's limited evidence just because there are really only a couple randomized control trials and several observational trials that suggest that.
Okay, so I'd like to know what your take home is with regard to this.
Well, I happen to think that it is a good diet, whether you fat restrict or don't, because I think the evidence does show it reduces, again, cardiovascular disease, it reduces diabetes, it reduces breast cancer. So I think all those things are beneficial. So overall, I'm convinced by the health benefits of this particular diet.
Me too, not to mention the fact that I like it.
And I failed to mention that the diet also includes a moderate amount of red wine as well.
Even better. On that note, then, about in the blog. Which one do you think?
Elizabeth, I think that the extension of hormone therapy is really such an important concept that any woman that is taking it, I want them to be aware of it. So let's hide that one on the blog this week.
Done. That's a look at this week's medical headlines from Johns Hopkins. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang. Y'all live well.